Richie Neal, time to get rid of the Electoral College?
I'd like to see it go. I have now watched twice in the last 16 years where the winner of the popular vote has been denied the presidency. I understand the whole notion of keeping a check on popular emotions. And at the same time, I think it's very difficult to argue after there's been a spread of 3 million votes in this last round of elections that we should maintain this relic. And I think that when you look at the state of Wyoming, where I represent more people in the 1st Congressional District of Massachusetts than there are in the state of Wyoming,
yep,
that they are guaranteed two votes because they have two senators and one congressman, and three votes, rather, but two votes in the Senate. And you have those two votes in the Senate, and you compare that to California, where there are 40 million people, and they have two votes in the Senate. And I think the allocation of representatives and senators in the Congress reminds all of us that this has now become a small state phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I also think that when you look at it, it's very difficult to argue that 3 million votes don't count.
You can say that again. I guess I want to know about how all of this relates to apportionment. Now, we have a Supreme Court which, in its present composition, which may not last for that long, says it wants to take a look at the concept of gerrymander. At least one crucial judge does. If the gerrymander is outlawed, in other words, drawing districts where only you can win if you're in the majority party, do you think that will affect the politics of the House of Representatives?
Well, actually, there are two cases. There's one in Virginia and there's one in North Carolina that seem likely to make their way to the Supreme Court. Part of the challenge we've had with gerrymandering, which is in its antecedents comes from Elbridge Gerry, the governor of Massachusetts, and he drew the famous congressional district here that was shaped like a salamander, and thereafter simply known as the gerrymander. But what's interesting about this is that it was really Lee Atwater from South Carolina, who had been an operative in George Bush One campaign, who decided that he would take Supreme Court rulings that had in the past said that African Americans were being denied access to representation based upon one man, one vote. And he said, well, why don't we then take African American congressional districts and pack them with just African Americans? The result being, in many states across the South, you have congressional districts that are 70 and 80% African American, even though in the state they would constitute a smaller number. And instead, Atwater said, then we will pack white voters into adjacent congressional districts. So if you looked at Mel Watts' seat, formerly in North Carolina, it ran along the highway, and at the same time, the rest of the state kept majority white districts by overwhelming numbers. So Atwater was keen to see how you could break through a Supreme Court decision previously, and now the plaintiffs are arguing correctly, I think, that that was not the intent, and that these districts are now packed with urban voters on one hand, and then suburban and rural voters on the other hand. So I'm hopeful that in these court cases that the Supreme Court will come back and say that was not the intent of these gerrymandered districts, and that instead these districts should be drawn more along the lines of fairness and also what was known at the time as a community of interest.
But to get to my main point here, it is the Republicans who are right now in the ascendancy for one reason, which is that they have taken control of a lot of legislatures, and the legislatures, including Texas, where they wiped out almost everybody, have become gerrymanderers.
They're much more abrasive about these things. And in Texas, the example that you cite is entirely correct. They waited until after reapportionment and then went back 4 years later and revisited it, where it's supposed to be done. As you know, the Constitution requires that the congressional districts be drawn every 10 years. In this case, they drew the congressional districts after 4 years had already gone by.
That was awful.
It was awful. And the other legacy here of issue that we're facing, which is a very harsh one, and that is that 66 of the 99 legislatures in the country are now controlled by Republicans, going into another cycle of reapportionment, which is just around the corner. And I was looking at some numbers this morning, about the states, again, that have lost population. New York has lost population. Connecticut has lost population. What that means going forward, I don't know. But I do know this, that there's been a substantial shift from the Northeast to the Sun Belt regions of the country. And even in the state of California, there have been some huge differences in population.
Well, it just seems to me that when you put the gerrymander and the Electoral College and some of the other institutions side by side, we realize that the system really does need some major tweaks.
I couldn't agree more. And I also think that we, on the Democratic side, we have allowed them to pack Democratic voters into urban jurisdictions. And what they've done is they said, well, that's exemplified by the argument I made earlier in the conversation, that they concentrate urban voters. And when you look at the map now, you can see the blue regions of the country and the red regions of the country. And overwhelmingly, the red regions of the country is where they have made the most significant inroads.
I want to ask you, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I did want to ask you, as I know you've been working for a long time on the reopening of Union Station in Springfield. My question is, Richie, and I know this is hometown stuff and it's all for you and that people listening in other parts of our areas won't quite understand it, but does it do something, for better want of a better word, conceptual rather than just sort of pork barrel?
Well, we're not creating a museum here, and Union Station is a spectacular achievement. I've worked on it for almost four decades. I kicked off my first candidacy
That's
at Union
time,
Station.
Yeah.
It is a long time, but I must tell you, this building was worth saving on its own.
Uh-huh.
The Wreckers Ball has ruined a very important part of American history, and preserving these old buildings with some practical application is very important. And when I talk to Governor Baker today, he's coming by to spend an hour with me, and he's going to visit the station. I have stayed after this for these 40 years, and it's going to open sometime in March. It'll be completed on December 31st. It is an extraordinary accomplishment when you consider how tastefully it has been redeveloped. And I think that here's the significance, however. There will be, starting in January of 2018, there will be 8 to 10 trains more a day running from New Haven to Hartford to Springfield and beyond. So here, there is an opportunity on the north-south knowledge corridor to turn this into a significant economic gain for our regions across western Massachusetts, southern Vermont, and certainly in the state of Connecticut. Right now, all of that track is being replaced in Connecticut. John Olver and I, at the time, we pushed hard to use stimulus money to improve the track headed north. I've been on that train in one run where it hit 70 miles an hour in Hatfield, Massachusetts. So I think that this is a very substantial investment. But also, when you consider what happened in New York City and how Penn Station replaced one of the great stations in American history, what happened across this country with these Union Stations, just meeting again the Wreckers Ball, preservation is important. It ought to have a practical application. And one of the things I'd love to do, Alan, is we're going to do a media open house day. I'd love to have you come down and visit with me, and I'll give you a personal tour.
I'm coming. Richie Neal is our congressman from the 1st District. That's my district in Great Barrington. Is a Democrat, is now the ranking member. That doesn't mean the smelly member. It means the top member on, on the Ways and Means Committee. Congratulations on that. And Richie, can't wait till we have another chance at all of this.
Always good to talk to you, Alan. Thank you very much.